Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
The new Palafox project focuses on essential infrastructure and accessibility improvements with aesthetic enhancements and amenities as a complementary outcome. And it's worth noting that there has not been any significant investment in stormwater for Palafox since 1999.
This is Adrian Walker, who is the strategic initiatives person for the city of Pensacola, talking during the special meeting that they had last week about the what we're now calling New Palafox. Apparently, it had been reimagined Palafox, and then it was Palafox before and after, and then a rebrand is fine. I actually think that what they should call it is Dry Palafox. Which the reason you don't want to call it Dry Palafox is because then people will think that what you're doing is you're getting rid of the alcohol. But what you are doing is getting rid of the flooding. Like, the key thing about this is not the, ooh, look, circles and red bricks. Like, that's the least important part of all of this. Obviously, it was originally designed as part of the remediation from when, Gulf Power FPL came in and ripped up all the new asphalt. Just... everything's going to be fine. Just resurface it. What could go wrong? I don't know. Let's put $80 million. It was $80 million of renovations in and undergrounding, and which is good. Let's not be, ungrateful, but, $86 million. Yeah, 5-year, $86 million project. And in the process, they cut every piece of Palafox up. If you look at it, it looks, I don't know, what's the parallel that I would want? It's like somebody comes into your house and you've just painted, and what they do is they rewire the house and they fix it with duct tape over the drywall. Like, that's kind of what it looks like on Palafox. Right? It's not quite that bad, but, it's not good. So we're fixing it. But in the process, since we're already ripping everything up to repave it, well, let's dig deep and let's actually put in some stormwater projects and let's make it so it doesn't flood. Like, that's the real heart of this project. What I'm sort of, you could reimagine Palafox Dry could be your name. Dry Palafox, reimagine Palafox unflooded, new no flood Palafox. I don't know. I haven't quite come up with the exact brand I want here, but I think flood or dry needs to be somewhere in it.
So from a stormwater perspective, there are quite a few upgrades with 44 new drainage structures, over 1,700 linear feet of new stormwater piping. That pipe, the new pipe, will capture 93,000 gallons of stormwater, which equates to about 1 inch of standing water throughout the entire project area that will now be captured underground. I think that's pivotal for what we see when just a light rain on Palafox.
Okay, so in the past when a cloud would pass over the top of Palafox and there'd be 3 inches of standing water on the street because of it, like if a cloud even threatened Palafox. Well, now you get a full-blown inch of rain, there will be nothing. The road will be dry. I mean, lingering wetness just from having rained on, but it'll handle an inch of water, which is pretty amazing. So, it has been said, but I do not think it has been focused on nearly enough that that is the key. Also, safety issues, ADA compliance, pedestrian safety.
From a safety standpoint, distances are reduced at the crossings upwards of 16 feet. Which is critical because it reduces the amount of time that a pedestrian is in the street where there are vehicles.
Okay, when you have a road diet, okay, because the curbs are moved closer into each other, if you have looked at it, that's what happens in a lot of places. That means it's a shorter distance from one side to the other for pedestrians, which means that they're in the roadway less, which means they're less at risk, and also of slower cars.
We have 90-degree crosswalks and vehicular travel ways, which is far different than what's there now, so that's a vast improvement. And there's 4 new elevated mid-block crossings with a rumble pattern, And it's important to note, too, that these mid-block crossings also assist with transporting rainwater to our inlets. So, again, it's another stormwater feature.
All right. Mid-block crosswalks that are elevated. Let's not say what it isn't. These are speed tables. I hate speed tables. I hate them with a passion. Want to blow up every single one that exists, but I don't have 1,000 bombs for all the speed tables in Escambia County. It's amazing. It's like the county bird, the speed table. Anyway, they're everywhere. They proliferate. It's like a bacteria. You can't stop it. Anyway, so yeah, there's going to be that. That will slow down traffic. That will make people safer. Those are all key parts of it. And, you know, Sherry Myers, former, you know, Emeritus City Council member Sherry Myers, what is her number one thing that she says? If she opens her mouth, she's saying ADA compliance, right? That is the thing she is known for. Or trees and bees and stuff like that. But, you know, the two things she's really known for. What, you look at me like that's news to you, John? No, it's
early for me.
It's disabled people, trees, and bees. That's, you know, what she's
trees
into.
And
which
bees.
Is fine. I mean, yeah. It's good to be known for something.
We will have 46 ADA compliant curb ramps. This is much needed from an accessibility standpoint. And we'll have 8 enhanced handicap parking spaces.
Palafox is most definitely not ADA compliant right now. I mean, it is and it isn't. There's rules about what you have to do and which standards you're held accountable to and based on what renovations. It's complicated, but it is not ideal. I'll put it that way. It's not ideal. This is ideal. It's exactly what it's meant to be. Plus, you have benches and you have a historical trail, which will make sense now because it'll actually fit in between the pavers of the existing pavers underneath the awnings next to the shops and the new pavers that are going to go in between them and the new street elements. So, you know, there's, like I said, all kinds of new things are being added. And even, you know, Sherry gets 2 out of 3. ADA, trees and bees. We already got ADA. Now we got...
We'll have 42 new trees in addition to existing 32 trees to be maintained. There'll be 114 new modular metal planters throughout. Adding tree canopy is one of the most effective natural strategies for reducing urban heat. Direct shade from trees can lower surface temperatures between 20 and 45 degrees, which then reduces the amount of heat absorbed, which also helps cool the overall temperature in those areas.
Yeah, you get shade, and you basically the heat goes only as far as the leaves, so it stays high. It doesn't heat the air and the ground below also contributes to ongoing heat throughout the day. I mean, like, there's all kinds of good things to having this. Yes, you're going to lose parking. Yes, particularly up by Garden, which is nobody's preference except FDOT. But the reason FDOT wants that is because of congestion at the intersection of Garden, which is their street, and also because of safety concerns and the inability to see cars. If there is a place on Palafox between Garden and Main where it is the least safe to walk as a pedestrian, it's right at Garden, right? Everywhere else is pretty much very safe. Maybe right at Main, right where people turn in there, is a little bit less safe. And I know there are elements elsewhere, but, you know, those are the primary places you would think of. And so this is designed to give more visibility and basically to make traffic flow work better right off of Garden.
Parking, I know, is an important top-of-mind element to this. We will be losing 19 total spaces. 16 of those are being removed between Garden and Romana. It's important to note that 8, so half of those, were actually requested by FDOT because of visibility and safety concerns that they posed. So that wasn't entirely our decision. That was something requested by FDOT.
And then a lot of discussion has been about how will this be done? Who will be affected and closed? And how long will it take? And one of the, it may not be brand new, but one of the relatively new things that they announced in this presentation was that instead of just closing it all, you know, from top to bottom, or instead of moving in section, that's the rip-to-band-aid approach, as DC calls it, and instead of closing it in sections, which requires multiple mobilizations and will actually extend the time frame, although it will only inconvenience a certain amount, they're going to do what Adrian Walker calls an accordion approach, which I thought was kind of interesting if you think about it.
We are looking at an accordion single-phase approach to assist with potentially reopening blocks sooner than the final completion date. So we will be starting from the north and the south and trying to work our way inwards.
So what that means is if you have, like, the Garden end and the Main Street end are going to be where the work starts, the whole thing is going to be shut down for cars. Pedestrians will be able to walk the entire time. Literally, the 6 feet between the shop front and the sidewalk, that under the awning where you walk when it's raining, that will all be open 100% of the time throughout the entire construction. So nobody will lose pedestrian access to their storefronts. Nobody will lose the ability to go down on Palafox. This will all be available the whole time. But what they're going to do is they're going to start at Main and work north. They're going to start at Garden and work south, kind of like the railroad. And we're going to meet in the Rockies. You know, we're going to meet with the Golden Spike in the middle. But what that means is that you can open it up behind you. So that traffic, you know, when you get like the first section done, traffic to, you know, the intersection at Plaza Fert, not Plaza, what is the stupid one that's right by Jackson Square, that first block will be available to be opened. And so it can be used like normal. And then the work on the next block in, and same thing from the north, the block down to Ramada, that'll be open and available. So you'll actually open up both ends of the street and then eventually open it all the way through towards the end of the project. There will be temporary free parking.
City is offering 414 free parking spaces on Jefferson, Spring, Garden, and North Palafox throughout construction.
To make up for the ones on Palafox that are temporarily gone.
The columns and the planters, that space in between varies block to block. The most important thing is we have to maintain a 6-foot pedestrian path. But all businesses will be accessible, open. There will be plenty of travel path for people to go in and out of the buildings.
And that's the point I was making a moment ago. So good presentation. Now, there was, you know, discussion about the points that people disagree with. Jen Brer and Charles Baer, most notably. And if I ever have to offer you an unknown and I say, okay, we have city council members who are against something, who is it going to be? And listen, I like Jen. I have a good relationship with her. I appreciate her presence in these meetings. You know, the purpose of a conversation is so that all the points get brought up, okay? And she will always bring up all the points, which is good. You want that. And Charles, same way. There will not be a disagreement or a criticism that won't get aired because that's their role in this situation. But if there is ever a 5-2 vote or a 6-1 vote, the one or the two will always be Charles Baer or Jen Brer, 100% of the time. And so it was here when they approved this to go forward. They approved that they would go forward on this week and actually do the funding for this and finalize it. It was the two who were going to be against it. And, you know, actually, I think they took a vote and this wasn't a voting meeting. Sorry, I'm getting this one confused. But those are the two who mostly... Now, some other people raised objections, raised concerns, and that's normal. But in terms of... Oh, it was in the CRA. That's right. It was a vote in the CRA. It was to pass it 5-2. That was... I don't watch the CRA meetings because they're... Oh, God, they're so long. Like 3.5 hours. But, I heard what they did. Anyway, so we'll talk about this more throughout the day because I think the objections are interesting. The answers to the objections are also interesting. And this is going to be the biggest inconvenience in anybody's life for the next 6 months, starting in January, assuming that they actually fund it at Thursday night's meeting. 522 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hey, Northwest Florida, Dave Ramsey here. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors and humidity issues. So, if you need duct cleaning, duct repairs, or air filtration, you should call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768. They've been trusted members of the community for over 30 years. And remember what Todd always says, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. And be sure and tell them that Dave Ramsey sent you.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Severe from Vicks.
Sinex Severe nasal spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Severe instantly relieves nasal congestion and works 6 times faster than nasal decongestant tablets. The 12 hours of relief allow you to get back to the moments that matter without congestion.
Daddy, we need more balloons.
On it.
Try Sinex Severe from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel Thursday at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show. They'll be talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, and how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick, and it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick, soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Costa del Ex, Lutherville, Marina del Ex, Otisburg. Otisburg?
Who's Tess Moxer? She's got her own place,
man. Otisburg?
It's a little bitty place.
Otisburg?
Good morning, 525 on News Radio 92.3.
Otisburg?
No. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The government shutdown, may soon be officially over. The Senate voting Monday night to reopen federal agencies and restart food assistance, passing a bipartisan measure after eight Democrats joined Republicans. The final vote, 60-40, the legislation now heading to the House. President Trump marking Veterans Day today with a visit to Arlington National Cemetery. He'll lay a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and deliver some remarks as part of their official observance ceremony. And police say two people aboard a plane carrying hurricane relief supplies to Jamaica have died after the plane crashed in a neighborhood outside of Miami. An airport spokesperson there says the twin-engine turboprop took off from Fort Lauderdale Monday, then crashed in Coral Springs.
Do you see the footage of this at all? It was like into a, think of like, Villa Venice, like in Gulf Breeze, where you've got these canals that were built. It looks to me like it was that kind of neighborhood, and it looks like they crashed basically into the canal in the backyard and missed, thank God, all the houses.
Right.
So, John, you're nodding your head. That's what it looked like to
yes,
you. Same thing.
Did.
Yeah. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 527 News Radio 92.3 and other across the state news. Did you see the crash out of Ybor City, the near Tampa? So they had a guy who was driving aggressively, speeding recklessly. They think DUI. They chase. You've got helicopter footage of, infrared FLIR footage of the cops chasing. And they tried to pit him, I think, twice and failed. And without saying any more, I will say what I'm going to bring up with the sheriff, which is this is why you train people how to pit, because you and I know how to do it. And I don't need to tell you how to do it, but I'll tell you they did not do it right.
It's so that we can look at that.
I can
and
look
go,
at the video and go, well, that's why you failed, because you didn't do it right. And it's hard to do, but there are ways you do it wrong. There are ways you do it right. And if you do it right, it works. And if you do it wrong, it doesn't work. And they, I think twice in the video, if I'm not mistaken, from each side, like one side from the right, one side from the left. So they back off because they're getting into a populated area, and he keeps going, and he drives his car right into a bar. Kills four people, wounds like 17 more.
Oh, I remember this now. Yeah.
And
wow.
You know, during his intake, he was basically saying, this is my fault. How many people did I kill? Like, it's awful. It's absolutely awful. It's also a reminder, like, why they don't always pursue, why you pursue under certain circumstances. You know, there's dangers all around. You know, literally in every part of that, there's danger. 437-1620. Oh, you know, I had not checked this morning with the cold temperatures. We got a report in from one of our longtime listeners, Daniel, who says there's no power in Molino. I hadn't checked the FPL map this morning to see if anybody's out. But yeah, with the freezing temperature, it's, and, you know, in the south, it's didn't quite get to freezing, like right in the 32, 33, 34 vicinity. But obviously inland, it's going to be colder. And that's why we'd heard from Ryan Jenkins that he was worried about his peanut crop because, you know, if the peanuts got wet over the weekend and then they didn't completely dry out because we have low temperatures and lack of sun, which is what he counts on to dry them out, and then it freezes when they're, you know, wet, well, bye-bye crops, or at least, you know, severely degraded quality. 437-1620, 437-1620. City Council is going to take up the, it's stupid, James Othmeyer drag whatever show letter. Yay, us. That's fantastic. At the city council meeting on Thursday as an add-on item over the objection of Charles Baer. What did I say? If anybody's going to object, Charles Baer. Although I actually think his objection is kind of interesting. We'll talk about that. Well, I'll mention it. They talked about this, and his objection was, I don't think that we should, you know, if we're going to have this discussion, we should have everybody, not just James Othmeyer. You know, his, like, why is that so important? And I think, I don't think he quite came out and said it this way in the city council meeting, but what he's getting at is we have had, you know, dozens and dozens of, and in attendance, hundreds of people show up about this, and suddenly the AG writes a letter and we're going to have an agenda item? It's not a voting item, it's just a discussion. And I kind of side with him on that. Like, you know, have it because the citizens care. Don't have it because some, you know, political operative out of Tallahassee got co-opted into a local discussion and wrote a letter that doesn't carry any legal weight. That doesn't matter. So I actually kind of agree with him about this.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop. The Senate reaches the 60 votes needed to end the government shutdown and send the package that funds the government through January 30th to the House.
It also includes year-long funding bills for Congress, the Agriculture Department, and the military. But it does not include a deal on Obamacare subsidies, which is what Dems have been fighting for all along. Republicans are promising in a side deal a separate vote in December on a health care bill. Senator Rand Paul was the only Republican to vote no.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. Reporting the House now making its way back to Washington tomorrow will mark its first vote in 54 days.
I'm looking forward to getting back to work and actually doing the people's will. I'm excited about it, and it's about time.
Georgia Republican Congressman Rich McCormick earlier on Fox and Friends First, and Secretary of State Marco Rubio travels to Canada today to take part in the two-day G7 foreign ministers meeting. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It is 33 degrees right now. We've got clear skies this morning in Pensacola. Well, an Escambia County man remains behind bars after allegedly killing two young children and setting his mobile home on fire. 27-year-old John Henry Walston. He's charged with murdering 9-year-old Vaden Oram and 7-year-old Raiden Smith, who were spending the night at his trailer on Friday. Walston also faces charges of sexually assaulting one of the children. Neighbors say Walston lived in the trailer park for years and was trusted by the families there in the area. The children's mother was injured trying to rescue them from the burning home. Walston remains in jail without bond. He's scheduled to appear in court on Friday. Also, an investigation continuing after a stabbing death at a Pensacola office building. Officers were called to the AA Top Shop on Davis Highway yesterday. That's where an employee reporting to work found a deceased man with multiple stab wounds inside the building. That man's identity is expected to be released later today after his family has been appropriately notified. So far, no arrests have been made in that case. As the local weather gets colder, News Radio's Chris Bryan with this story. He says there's a local agency that needs help.
The Council on Aging of West Florida is accepting donations of new electric space heaters, blankets, and monetary contributions to assist older adults. Electric heaters and blankets may be delivered to Council on Aging of West Florida at 875 Roy Street. Financial donations can be made online at coawfla.org/donate or sent directly to Council on Aging of West Florida. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. Well, a cold morning across much of the state today. The National Weather Service out with cold weather advisories, freeze watches, freeze warnings across a lot of Florida today. Temperatures down below freezing up in the way north parts of Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. We've got 33 degrees right now in Pensacola. And let's get a look at our... Actually, no, we don't have that forecast at the moment. It is 33 in Pensacola, 36 in Gulf Breeze, 32 in Milton. Our next news at 6 a.m. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. It's going to get a little bit harder to find a Frosty. Wendy's plans to close hundreds of restaurants nationwide over the next few months. The fast food chain is looking to boost profit and make its remaining stores more appealing. The closures will start before the year ends, though it's unclear exactly which locations will be affected. A relief for higher ed. A new report shows the nation's colleges and universities saw their fall enrollment grow for the third straight year. Data from the National Student Clearinghouse says total headcount rose 2% this fall. Community colleges and certificate programs saw the biggest growth. It shows more students are looking for affordable and career-specific education. On Wall Street, futures are slightly lower after trading in AI stocks roared back to life yesterday. Didn't hurt investors became optimistic the record-setting government shutdown could be nearing an end. The NASDAQ had its best day since May, gaining 2.3%. That's Your Money Now.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
If you have an HD radio in your car, you can listen to News Radio 92.3 from Fort Walton Beach all the way to the Mississippi line.
You heard me right. Here's how.
Tune to 98.7. Wait a few seconds until you see the HD signal displayed. Then turn the radio up two clicks to HD3. Then you can listen to Andrew McKay, Pet Talk with Meg, Marpy Van Camp and Robbins, and Petscola Right Now, all over the Gulf Coast. It's News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
I'm a chicken fried and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News and it's News Radio 92.3. Jimmy Petronas is on the line with us, and we have a lot of news to get to. Jimmy, welcome back to Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So the Senate.
Cold.
I'm sorry, what?
It's going to get cold.
Yeah. Oh, no. I know. We got farmers up in Jay that are worried about that with their peanuts and all this. I mean, we've got lots of stuff to get to with that because the weather is actually a factor. But the shutdown is the big news. Now, you just clarify, because we've had some confusion even here in the studio. The Senate voted to advance past cloture. They haven't actually voted on any of the real measures yet, right? Or am I wrong?
No, so essentially they voted to end debate.
Right, okay.
So if you have, then they have to get a 60 votes. So basically, if they can get seven Democrats to come and say, hey, I'm done talking about this,
right,
then that basically says, all right, those same have said, all right, that means if I'm done talking, I'm ready to vote and move forward. So there's been lots of briefs have been taking place between those seven that have come forward that have said, let's go and do this. Like one of them's Tim Kaine. Tim Kaine from Virginia, you can imagine with as many federal employees he has in Virginia, especially outside the Beltway, how he has just been getting lit up by his constituents. So it's easy for the Tim Kaines of the world to come across over and get the thing open.
So over the course of the next several days, the Senate's going to actually vote. Then the House is going to take a look at the proposal and, you know, do whatever they do. And then, of course, if you guys pass it, then the president has to sign it. The key elements here are involving the agriculture bill, which would include SNAP, and I'm also assuming the payments to the farmers. Is that right?
So, well, the ag bill, I don't know if it has that specific language in it. I would think it does just simply because it's an ag appropriation bill.
Right. The Farm Service Agency funding is, we were just talking to our friend Ryan Jenkins on Friday about this, that, you know, they're now a month in and still don't have money from that, which means that they're losing money every month because they can't pay off the mortgage, basically, that they've got the loans on it. So, you know, this is costing them interest every month that they don't get that, every day that they don't get that money. So it's painful for them. SNAP is going to be funded, military pay, military construction pay. What about the FAA and the traffic controllers? Is that also part of this?
Yeah, so, I mean, you get the thing. The budget that we were operating on under the government under September 30th is now going to be turned back on, and we're going to operate with that exact same budget till January the 30th.
Got it, okay.
So all those dollars, the air traffic control, all those guys, they weren't looking for new money. Now, we did give them new money for construction and renovation of the air traffic control system. But basically, we're reauthorizing the budget to continue operating as it did pre-September 30th, and that will go till January. And then we've added the three new appropriations bills on top of it, which are, you know, in those particular subject area silos, you know, Capitol Police, Safety Security, Ag, includes SNAP benefits, MILCON, and Agriculture, which those are the ones that the House pushed out. Those are the ones that typically are less controversial and have more bipartisan support.
And those are long-term deals, right? What, 3 years or something? Is that right?
I believe so. Each one of those bills is, as you have those authorization bills, they could be structured a difference. Like they want to do a surface authorization bill next year. That means roads and bridges. They haven't done one of those in years. So this is where they're getting back and revisit it, and then it'll be determined through the appropriation process how long it'll be for.
Gotcha. And the will in the House as far as Speaker and your caucus, I know you talked with WAR about this last night, but the will of the House is that what the Senate passes, you guys are willing to pass, and then they're going to talk about health care, and I'm assuming you guys are probably not going to talk about health care, but that's on you, not on them, right?
Yeah, I mean, they've made a commitment to talk about health care, but, you know, I really like the Senator Scott proposal. That's Rick Scott, not Tim Scott. Rick Scott says fine, let's take the subsidy and let's give it to our beneficiaries in the form of a health savings account. So it's cash into a HSA account, and they spend it how they see fit, as opposed to making a direct line item subsidy directly to the health insurance companies. And then the consumer gets to have a little bit of a say in how they're going to spend their health care dollars, their money in the first place.
Wouldn't most of them have to turn around and spend it on the marketplace anyway? I mean, if they're paying for health insurance and the marketplace is too expensive, as it will be if they don't have a subsidy or the expanded subsidy, it seems like it all goes to the same place in the end. What am I missing something?
Yeah, but now what's going to happen is that consumer is going to have a little more buying power at the point of purchase. So they may shop it around as opposed to the subsidy already going to the insurance company saying, hey, these are the prices we're going to sell them to you for. Now the insurance company saying, so how can I get my price more attractive to be able to lure more of those eligible beneficiaries with the account and the subsidy to come do business with me?
Oh, okay. Well, so, I mean, for somebody like me then, if I'm not on the marketplace, Perfect. Would I get an HSA contribution? Because I buy from my employer, not from the marketplace.
Yeah, so this is new territory for me. The subsidy would be provided back, so that eligible population for those subsidies would be the eligible party. Now,
okay, so it's going to be income limited if you would have gotten the subsidy under Obamacare then.
Correct.
Okay.
It's definitely there's an income limit. Now I'm remembering now.
Okay, that makes sense.
There's an income limit and an age limit, how it breaks up.
Okay. All right. So no use to me, but still, that's, I see where you're coming from. I'm not sure how much I think it matters, but, you know, I'd rather have it in personal hands rather than, you know, it's paid directly to the insurance companies. That makes sense to me. I don't understand this jobs thing. I don't. I don't understand paying people who were furloughed and didn't work. I don't understand mandatory rehiring of people who got fired. I don't get it. I get paying people who worked, you know, air traffic controllers, military, you know, money goes for jobs. That's fine. But I don't, if you fire people, you fired people. Why are we obligated to take them back and pay them for all the work they didn't do?
I think that's part of one of the questions Trump asked out loud. And, you know, everybody went aghast. This was back, I think, during 2019, mm-hmm. where they had passed a guaranteed compensation for furloughed workers. I think part of the thought process is they were furloughed under no fault of their own. You know, why are they being punished, you know, because of an impasse in Congress? But I think this shutdown is definitely going to bring a lot of things to light, including what elements of government service did anybody notice weren't even there for their use. So, I mean, I hope we take this painful exercise and make a more efficient government after the fact. Unfortunately, we just got one vote majority in the House, and we still have the cloture rule of in the Senate. So yeah. It's just filibuster rule in the Senate. It's just tough, and that's why I get where the president was saying, just blow up the filibuster. You know, let's go fix some things.
You know, it's an interesting note too, though, that like even though it might make sense to Republicans to allow the cuts or to allow the furloughs to not get paid, in order to get the Democrats 60 on board, you probably have to give on that. But also, this is part of the general environment around having a government job, is they took the job knowing that they were protected from not, you know, harm during a furlough and all that kind of stuff. So I want to see a better structure going forward. I mean, I hate to see the news talk about people getting furloughed and people getting fired, and then all of a sudden it's like it never happened. You know, it's like wave your magic wand and we erase the past. That just seems weird to me. Anything else in this?
No, you're good.
Before we move on, anything else in this deal that you want people to know about? Because, you know, I think it's been covered quite a bit, but I want to make sure, you know, you're right there on the front line talking to folks. What else do we need to know?
Yeah, well, the people asking, so when do we see something happening? I think best case scenario, we will be back voting on Wednesday. The speaker has got a call with us at 10:30 this morning. We'll get our marching orders about where we need to be when, and then we will we'll get up to D.C. There's two different procedures. If we have a bunch of Democratic support in the House of Representatives, this thing could be a one and done, voted out on Wednesday. If the Democrats dig in and decide not to support it, then it'll be more prolonged. But I think the hope is to bring this thing in for a landing before the November 15th pay cycle is eclipsed.
Okay, so paychecks should go on Saturday, as long as nobody holds it up in the meantime.
Correct. Okay. Correct. And like I said, the appropriations bills that we're seeing coming back from the Senate are already negotiated bills, so there shouldn't be any controversy with those appropriations bills, the ag bill, the military spending bill, and the security bill.
Gotcha. Okay, very good. I wanted to ask you this thing that President Trump said, yesterday, the day before, I forget, when he talks about giving out a $2,000 tariff dividend to anybody who doesn't earn too much money. He doesn't specify. If you do the math on that, we're talking about, and we don't know exactly who'd be eligible, but, you know, if there's 330 million people in the country, let's say, I don't know, it's 250 million. I don't know. But you run the math on that, and you're talking about $500 billion total, $500 billion. Now, it's great that we have all this money from tariffs. Don't get me wrong. And that's been paid largely by Americans, of course. Look, I want $2,000 as much as anybody does, but I want to pay down the debt. You know, you got $500 billion. Pay down the debt. Am I wrong?
I'm not sitting down with the president at that table, but if I'm looking at him and he has just extracted these dollars globally, brought them into the United States coffers, I think this is where his rationale is. If I'm going to be challenged in the courts and these dollars are going to be considered as gotten in a way that were outside of my bounds of powers,
right?
I think what the president said, okay, you know what, fine. You want to play it that way and you want to challenge me in court, I'm just going to send them to the American public before there's a court ruling. And then, you know what, good luck going and extracting those dollars back from the American public. Then at least, you know what, the argument is at least the citizens of the United States get to spend the money as opposed to the federal government. You know, I'd love to pay down the debt, too. It's hard to get these son of a guns in D.C. to want to get focused on doing. They love spending money. So I think the part of the solution the president's got is, all right, well, you know what, if you're not going to be disciplined about paying down the debt with it, then let's just go and just give the American public and we'll give a shot in the arm of the economy and help them with their inflation transition.
Well, by the way, I completely agree with you. This seems to me to be a response to the Supreme Court clearly indicating that they are going to strike down the justification. You know, they're going to say that these tariffs are not within the president's purview under the authority claimed under IEEPA. I think that's right. And that's what I thought, too. He's just trying to spend the money before the court tells him to take it back, and then the court can be the bad guys to try to grab it back from the American pockets. So,
1,000%.
Somebody who thinks that he doesn't have IEEPA authority doesn't love that way of doing business, but I do interpret it the same way that you interpret it. We had a vote in New York City, and I wanted to give you a chance to talk about it. You know, they elected Mamdani. They're going to get free everything if he can pull it off. What do you think this means, though? Is this just outside the establishment? Was it terrible choices with Cuomo as the alternative and Sliwa? Or is this a broader movement? I mean, is this emboldened the socialist wing of the Democrat Party?
No, I'd say what gets me so disgusted about all this, Andrew, is, I mean, the Democrats took these elections, and let's take our special election we have for Congressional District 1. There wasn't a lot of people super fired up about it because they're outside of an election season.
Right.
Elections have seasons. So what the Democrats did is, okay, let's take the government shutdown, which is creating a bunch of blood in the water and a bunch of national news, and let's apply it on top of the elections happen that are non-national cycle elections. So, you know, this was very selfish. This was a way to continue to rally their base, to put blood in the water, to get Democrats fired up about something and to come and show up. At the same time, they raised an enormous amount of money. Everything they did was selfishly motivated to control the agenda, and they kept the American public, especially our military, hostage for, you know, 50 days. It's just disgusting.
You know, the last thing I wanted to ask you about, it was kind of a, I don't know, it was just a silly topic. You and I were talking about this last week, but the speeding in Gulf Breeze thing, you know, you had told me that you were written a ticket for 6 over, and I had thought you meant on 98, which would have been 41 and a 35. Then Channel 3 goes and talks to Gulf Breeze police, and they say, well, no, he was doing 68 on the bridge. It was so he was written for 6 over, which would have been 51 and a 45. And you and I talked a lot about cops hiding, being in plain sight and all of this kind of stuff. And I think in principle, you and I very much agree about that. But, you know, the chief says he was in plain view. He was in the left-hand lane. It was going over the bridge. And more importantly, he wrote it down from a 68 to a 51. And if that was the case, I felt like the conversation you and I had about it wasn't it troubled me because I felt like you were describing it one way and then the facts were a little bit different. But I wanted to give you a chance to reply because obviously you've seen this has been a big local story. It's not the most important thing in the world, but we did talk about it. So comments, response?
I was speeding. I paid my ticket. I did my driving school. My criticism is where it's been ever since I've been in public office is be in plain view. This, in the state of Georgia, a law enforcement officer has to be within clear line of sight of over 500 feet in order to write a ticket for traffic citation. I love that. And that is not the case with how it's been operating in Gulf Breeze. This particular officer was over the crest of the bridge. If you're traveling westbound on Highway 98, there is a hump. It allows for navigational traffic to go underneath with higher and higher elevation.
Oh, you were going towards Pensacola? Wait, you were going towards Pensacola?
I was going towards Pensacola. Yeah, correct. Going towards Pensacola. So I wasn't even technically in Santa Rosa County. I was in Escambia County. But the law permits, I don't think it's anywhere else in the whole entire state, but the law permits Gulf Breeze to write outside of its jurisdictional boundaries on the Escambia County 3-mile bridge. So, you know, my criticism is if you're going to write tickets, be out in public. You have a greater effect over the overall respect of driving on a public roadway. And this was not the case. He was over the top of the hump. He was in the emergency lane, which I don't know why he needs to be parked in the emergency lane unless his car was broke down. But he was parked in the emergency lane out there shooting tickets. Go be at the top of the hump where everybody sees you if you want to park in the emergency lane with your functionally operating vehicle. So, I mean, look, I have no – look, write tickets. If somebody's going to be blazing enough to speed right in front of you in broad daylight, write them all day long. I'm agreeable with that. But, you know, I think there's a much better good when you're visible, just like the laws are in Georgia, in order to keep everybody respecting law. Look, when I was a kid, you never ran a red light in Gulf Breeze, and you never sped through Gulf Breeze because of the challenges. You'd get your attention, mate.
Right.
Okay, real quick light. Okay? So, you know, was I speeding across the bridge? Sure. You know, it happens. You know, a lot of people do it. But, you know, I was doing it to the point where they needed to write me a citation. And you know what? It was my fault. I wrote the ticket. I have no problem doing that. But I do have the right to be able to have an opinion to say, go be visible. You know what? And I don't think there's probably anybody else that probably really hates that idea of them being more visible.
No, I appreciate that. You know, that actually clarifies some, because I had thought you were headed towards Gulf Breeze, which is why the cop being on the north side of the hump makes a difference in our conversation from last week about visibility and the Georgia law and everything else. So now I appreciate you clarifying that, and thank you for answering. I definitely appreciate that. All right, next Monday we'll talk to you again, and if there's anything breaking between now and then, obviously we'll keep in touch with you about the government shutdown. Jimmy Petronas, our congressman for Northwest Florida District 1, thanks for the time, sir. Talk to you soon.
See you, buddy. Take care.
Absolutely. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3. Of course, that was yesterday. Just replaying it this morning like we typically do. Happy Veterans Day to all who are serving or who have served. Just a, you know, quick clarifier. Memorial Day is for to honor the people who have passed away in the service of this country. Veterans Day is for everybody who ever served, current, past, or passed away. Everybody is included in this one. So it's a happy day because we think about all the people who made this country everything that it is. Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty do an outstanding job of selling particularly, but also helping you buy, of course, even helping you buy new homes. One of the things, you know, we don't talk about it an awful lot, but if you go to buy a new home, you might think, well, I'll just buy from the builder. Oh, you can. Okay, you can. But Christina can help you buy from the builder, get concessions, make sure that you get what you're supposed to get. You know, one of the things that she says is, you know, people don't realize you can negotiate with the builders, and that's true. But also, once you take delivery of the home, sometimes you don't know, what can I complain about? What can't I complain about? What are my rights? And she's like, you can complain about anything you want. You expect a new house. You get a new house. So she says she's the blue tape queen. I will go with you through the house and say, fix, 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 all this stuff. And like, it's just good to have somebody on your side representing your interest when you're making such a massive purchase of a home, whether it's used, whether it's new, whatever the case may be. And, of course, if you're selling. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 786-3996.
Are you a senior ready to downsize but not ready for assisted living? Discover the lifestyle you deserve at Tranquil Villas. This vibrant, independent senior community offers spacious, affordable apartments designed for comfort and convenience. Enjoy clubs, luncheons, walking trails, and community gatherings. It's perfect for making new friends and staying active. You'll find everything you need to live your best life. Why not schedule a tour today? Go to seniorvillas.net. That's seniorvillas.net.
Tranquil Villas, where comfort meets community.
Down, set, hut! We're kicking off for the season at Sonny's Barbecue. Whether you're tailgating at the big game or sharing a meal with friends, it's always Sonny's. Enjoy the new fall menu with Maple Barbecue Smoked Turkey Club or Maple Barbecue Pork Burn-Ins. How about some sweet potato waffle fries or even our new pecan pie egg rolls? And don't forget the platter of slow-smoked chicken wings. Come see us at Sonny's with four locations in the News Radio area. Pace, 9th Avenue, Navy Boulevard, and Pine Forest. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida this Thursday at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
News Radio 92.3 gets your live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Public news team is taking a break from its pledge drive to kick some ass. No commercials, no mercy! Yeah!
The best mini scene in all of Anchorman is the news team fight, including the Spanish language and the public broadcasting. And Tim Robbins is the perfect cast as the head of that. Anyway, David Wayne's in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, good morning. At least 18 people recovering from injuries after a mishap at the Dulles International Airport in Virginia. The Metropolitan Washington Airport Authority there says a mobile lounge, also known as a people mover, struck a dock on Monday. Apparently, all of the injuries, though, are considered not to be life-threatening, and operations at the airport were not affected during that accident.
Okay, I'm super confused, because a people mover I think of as the flat escalator, the walkway that you walk on.
Yeah, well, apparently
this
they...
is something different
than
that?
Yeah, apparently they call this a people mover. I'm guessing maybe some type of a big cart to shuttle people.
Okay.
Lisa on air at 92.3.